Well, being Mother's Day, I have to say I'm especially blessed because my mum's here with me and I welcome her. And as well as welcoming my mum, I want to welcome everybody else here. And especially if you're visiting with us, you are indeed especially welcome. And we trust that you will feel the presence of God in our meeting tonight. And we trust that you'll not only bask in his presence, but that as you leave this house, that you'll leave with the fragrance of Jesus. And that when you meet others, that they'll know that you've been with Jesus. Now, our singers have arrived. And when they come in, we discovered that one of them teaches the three Nelson children. So, Carol, you can have a wee word with them afterwards and find out how they're doing. And we want to invite them. It's David and Suzanne Morrison. They're very welcome amongst us tonight. And I've asked them to come, and they're going to sing three pieces to us. Thank you very much.
Okay, good evening, everybody. It's lovely to be here. This is our first time at Abbots Cross. And I think Mrs. Nelson definitely deserves a Mother's Day, having to put up with Catherine, Guy, and especially Samuel. So, she probably deserves more than one day. Obviously, it's the run-up towards Easter, and we thought it would be suitable and appropriate to sing some songs, pieces which focus on the cross. And our first piece is "There is a Green Hill in a Faraway Country."
I may
Our second piece is entitled Thank You for the Cross. Piece is a classic hymn which has been reworked, Amazing Grace. So if you know the chorus, the chorus goes, "My chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Saviour has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace." If you know it, please do sing along with us when it comes to the chorus.
Grace that taught Tonight is Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 to 27. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Amen.
Let us just bow our heads and let us thank God for the offering that's before us tonight. Let us just pray. Our most loving and gracious Father in heaven, we bless thee tonight that truly as we come before thee, we can say from the very depths of our hearts, thou art a wonderful God. And Father, we just want to thank thee for the offering that is before us. Lord, we bless thee that the word of God tells us to bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse. And Lord, as we bring them in and lay them before thee, we ask thee, O God, to take them up and use them to your own eternal glory. Father, we pray that you will use it for the extension of your kingdom and for the furtherance of the work of God in our land. Lord, we just lay the remainder of this meeting before thee. We think of Liz as she comes now to bring your precious word before us. We ask that you'll undertake for her, that she will know the help and the aid of the Spirit of God, and that, Father, she'll know what it is to be borne along by your Spirit. Lord, as she breaks the bread of life to us tonight, we ask, O God, that our hearts would be touched and that whatever God the Lord would say to us, Lord, give us obedient hearts to go through it, God, no matter what the cost might be. We ask, O Lord, that you would rout the enemy out. We recognize the ploys of the evil one. Father, he raises his ugly head in so many different ways. Lord, he comes in such subtlety. And Lord, he seeks to disrupt a meeting. But we come against him tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you will rout him out and you'll cast him from our midst. and that the Spirit of God would come into this place, and that, Lord, you would have liberty and free course. And, oh God, we pray, as Jesus' name is lifted high, that truly souls would be drawn unto yourself. Now, that's our prayer and that's our request, and we lay them at the foot of Jesus, for we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask Liz to come with the word of God. Thank you very much, Liz.
It's lovely to be with you tonight. Although, if somebody could explain to me why it's so nerve-wracking when you're speaking in your own home church. Last Sunday morning, we were in a church in Enniskillen. Next Sunday, all weekend, is our mission weekend that we're organizing, and Matthew and I are going to be up and down like jack-in-the-boxes. But somehow tonight's different, but it is a joy to be here with you, to be able to share with you something from God's word, and to know his presence with us, isn't it? I hope you're all having a good Mother's Day. My Mother's Day has been, how would I describe it? I'm not quite sure. It was a joy to have some of my kids with me today, and I just thank the Lord for that, and to be able to talk to the other ones. Janet read us very well, her nice short Bible reading. You like that, Janet? And it finished with Be of Good Cheer. And it's something that the Lord has been blessing my heart with over these past months, and I thought that I would want to share that with you tonight as I thought about tonight's service. Be of good cheer. We read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 27, and I thought, well, what's the situation here? What is happening that they needed to be of good cheer? Well, first of all, they were in a boat, in a small boat, in a rough sea. Never a good combination. And the storm was battering them. Have you ever been battered by the waves? I'm sure you have, because I don't think there's any of us here that haven't been battered by waves. Whenever we were in Papua New Guinea, we got out of the tribe twice a year, and sometimes it was January, and when you went out to the coast, which was the Pacific in January, the waves at Wewak were so strong you couldn't stand against them. Literally, you stood up, you went down to the beach in the afternoon when it cooled off a wee bit, but the waves battered you, and you would stand up. If you get into the water any distance at all, you were literally getting pushed over, and life's like that sometimes, isn't it? Where you feel like you just can't take any more, and you get up on your feet, and the next thing, waves in your face, and you're knocked over again. That's what it was like for those disciples that night. And Jesus came, and he said, be of good cheer. I am is here. And then I thought, what does be of good cheer mean? It doesn't mean a lot to us. Sure it doesn't. So I looked in an Amplified Bible, and it said, take courage. Okay? Understand. Take courage. I understand that. And then I thought, well, what does courage really mean? So I looked in a dictionary. And courage, or to take courage, means it's an ability, the ability to confront fear, pain, danger, hardship, uncertainty, or intimidation, or even threat of death, and to act rightly in the face of all these things. I think that covers a lot that we all face, doesn't it? Many of the things there we will face day by day, week by week, month by month, and over our life. And yet Jesus says, I am here. Take courage. And then I thought, that's a really good situation. I wonder what other situations we have where Jesus told us to be of good cheer or to take courage. And so I started to look at a few more. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, in fact, Pastor talked about one bit of the story this morning. He read it from Mark. Well, this is the same story. It's a man who was sick of the palsy. And Jesus told him to be of good cheer, to take courage. Now, the Lord Jesus healed him. So would that mean if he hadn't healed him that he wouldn't have needed, did he only take good cheer or courage because he was being healed? No, I don't think so. I think whatever the situation is, that he still gives us good cheer or courage. We have some really good friends. They're co-workers in the mission. We've known them since Bible college days in 1981. And the Lord led our paths in similar ways. We did the Bible college training together. At that stage, we had to do a missions course in America. Now you can do it in England. And then we all ended up in Papua New Guinea. And they faced a lot of things in their lives. They had whenever we did our mission training, we lived in a plastic house that Matthew built us for 6 weeks. And their house went on fire. And James, to the end of his life, carried the scars, horrendous scars, in his feet that he got burned saving his family from that fire. He knew a bit about courage. While we were still in America, their eldest son, whose name was Andrew, died at 6 years old as a result of a million-to-one chance, as it were, an antibiotic that he was on. A million-to-one, they said, was the chances of it happening. And we were with them the day he died. They knew things about face and courage. And we were far away from family. There was only really us. And about a year and a half ago, James came to us with a specific prayer request. He wanted courage. He had been diagnosed with cancer. And he said, whatever happens, whether God touches me, whether the surgery is successful, or whether the Lord takes me home, my main prayer request is that I am going to face this situation with courage. And that's what he specifically asked the Lord for. And he had major surgery. And by this stage, they were still serving with the mission, but serving in America at one of our biblical studies colleges there. And he was teaching young people to prepare them to go to the mission field. And he continued on to the end. Just 2 weeks before the Lord took him home, he was up teaching because he was determined to spend whatever time he had serving the Lord. He faced it with courage. On the 7th of April, he'll have been in heaven a year. But to the end, God gave him that courage. And he faced whatever he had to face. And God is the same God today. Whatever we have to face, there's courage there for us. And the thing is, he not only did he say, take courage, he said, I am the God of all is here with you. So not only does he give us courage, but he's there with us. What more could we possibly ask for? One more. In Acts chapter 23, verse 12, there's another story of be of good cheer. Paul the Apostle had been preaching, and some people didn't like it. And they got mad at him, and the mob was so great that the local commander took him into a castle to take care of him and to protect him from the mob because they were angry at the things he was saying about God. And as overnight, whenever he was in the castle, the Lord came to him. And the Lord said to him, Paul, be of good cheer. You have more work to do for me yet. Now, people were trying to kill him. Over 40 men, had made a serious vow that they were not going to eat or drink until they killed Paul. So they were really serious about this. And yet God came and he says, Paul, be of good cheer. Take courage. You're not finished what I have done to do for you to do. You're going to end up in Rome. I want you to speak for me to young, so take courage. But meanwhile, outside the door, you could say, well, Lord, are you serious? These 40 men are not going to eat or drink until they kill me. And God says, I know the situation. And what did God do? These 40 men were discussing what they were going to do, and someone overheard them, told Paul's nephew. Paul's nephew went to the commander and told him the story, and the commander got him safely out before they sent 200 soldiers to take him safely out of the castle, and he got to Rome. Now, what I want to know is when those men starved to death. They weren't going to eat and they weren't going to drink until they killed Paul, and they never got to kill Paul. And they're never mentioned again, so I assume they starved to death or else they gave up on their vow. So God is able, whatever the situation. Now, probably you won't face people wanting to kill you, but you will face intimidation. You will face hurt. You will face things whenever you just don't know what to do. And God says, take courage, I am here. I think the story that I like the very best in the Bible about on this is found in Acts chapter 27. Let's have a look at that one. Acts chapter 27. It's quite a long chapter, so I'm not going to read it all, but you know what? You should really, really read it when you go home because it's an amazing account of how God undertook. They're in a ship. They're on, who likes ships? Anybody like ships here? No, not my thing, no. Give me a plane, I'm happy. You like planes too, Samuel? Even in the jungle, whenever we went in and out from our tribal area on a single engine plane, four, five, six-seater, even that would do me, but boats, definitely not my thing. But anyway, these guys were in a boat, and they were heading they were taking Paul as a prisoner. He was in chains, and they were heading through the winter storms, and that's where we pick up the story. We will start in verse 15. Acts chapter 27, verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they straked sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest led upon us, all hope that we were saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whom I serve, and whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, this is scary stuff. In a boat, in storms, it's absolutely battering you about. In actual fact, for 14 days, they labored 14 days, day and night, they labored to get this boat to safety, and it really wasn't going anywhere at all. They weren't eating. They were afraid. There was over 276 souls on. Some of them were prisoners, and some of them were sailors. But they did all they could. They started throwing things over the boat, over the side, to lighten it, and it made no difference. And they realized that all hope was gone. They were on the rocks. Have you ever been on the rocks in life? I am sure. I am very, very sure that most of us here have been on the rocks at one time or another, and there seems nowhere to go. And yet, what did God say? Take courage. I am here. None of you are going to drown. I'm going to take you all to safety, but the boat's going to sink. Now, that is a contradiction of terms. If that had been us in the boat, we would have been saying, Lord, make the storm stop. Lord, bring us safely to land. And the Lord could have done that. In an instant, he could have said, peace be still, and the storm would have stopped. And that's what we would have wanted, isn't it? We would have wanted, Lord, just calm the storm. But God said, that's not how I'm doing it. And life's like that. Sometimes we, in the midst of trials, want God to take care of it one way. And God sometimes wants to take care of it some other way. And that's what happened here. They all survived. But what had they to do? They all had to do a bit of work. They all did what they could. And they hadn't eaten for 14 days. So Paul said to them, eat. And he made them eat for strength. And after they'd eaten, they threw the rest of the food over the side. Some people wanted to put the lifeboat over, but God had specifically told Paul that they all had to stay in the boat. And so they cut the ropes. Whenever somebody put the lifeboat thinking they could escape that way, he told the commander, and he cut the ropes of the boat. So there they were, in the boat, in the ship, and nothing, seemingly humanly speaking, was going to happen, except that God had said he would get them to shore in one piece. So they fought on. They got the boat eventually. They forced it up into a channel, and the front of the boat was broken up. And at this point, they knew they had to get out. Now, would you have wanted, would that have been your choice or my choice to get into the raging, foaming water and rocks? And I would have said, Lord, I would like to stay in the boat. One time, the boats around Papua New Guinea, or the oceans around Papua New Guinea, are really swirling at some time zone. I remember once two families of us were in a boat heading from a small island into the mainland, and it was a little flat boat, and the waves were just, oh, it was really, really bad. And I'm sitting in the boat praying and praying and praying and trying to not let my three kids see really how afraid I was. And in our minds, Matthew and I, because we're three children, and Matthew and I I'll get the wee one, I'll get Andrew, and Matthew will get the other two, and we'll hold on to them. We really didn't know if we were going to make the shore, but God did bring us to shore safely. But it is scary in waters. And even if you can swim, And some of them couldn't even swim. But even if you could swim, it would have been hard to jump in. And yet God said, take courage, trust me, and get in the water. And they did that, eventually. The soldiers wanted, because there was prisoners, remember I told you there was prisoners, including Paul. And yet God had said, you're all going to get here. And the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners in case they escaped. But the commander wanted to share, to save Paul. And so he said, no, loosen them, loose their bonds and let them try and swim. And that's what they did, into amazingly violent waters against rocks and a broken ship. And do you know what God's word said? They jumped in. The commander said, those that can swim, get in. And try and get, and those that can't swim, hold on to something. And the word of God says, the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose of killing the prisoners and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all came to land safely. That's such an encouraging story. I love the word of God. Not only did it encourage the 276 plus souls that were on the boat, I'm sure they never forget how God had spoken to Paul. And maybe they were a bit bruised, and maybe they were a bit bashed, and some days you might feel a bit bruised, but God has promised that he's going to bring us to shore safely. Those of us who are his children are going to get there. Sometimes we have to go through the rough waters. Sometimes you feel you're swimming and swimming and you think you're not getting anywhere, but God has said, I will bring you to shore. And if God says it, that's it, and it's going to happen. Could we have gotten the water? Could we get in the water tonight? I don't know. But if God tells us to, that's what we need to do. We need to trust him. In the face of men saying, no, Paul said, I believe it is as God told me, and the people believed him. Maybe there's somebody you need to go and say, God has told me. Maybe there's somebody that you need to encourage. Whenever God, not only did this happen, but God had them write it down. Don't you love the fact that even though the Bible was given to us so long ago, it's so relevant for today? Do you know, today there's somebody here, I believe, that's in the water. There's somebody here that needs to jump in the water. And you need to know that God says, take courage and jump. I will be there for you. And so he doesn't change. God doesn't change. There's nothing ambiguous about his word. And so whenever he says that we need to be born again, that's exactly what he means. Whenever he says that there's no other way to get to heaven, that we need to take our courage and stand up and ask him to be our savior, that's exactly what he means. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to find forgiveness. There's no other way. There is no other way. I got saved in this church a long time ago. It's 20 years old. And in that wee room in there, the night, somebody asked me to come to church. I hadn't been to church for years and years. And God was speaking to me, and somebody asked me to come. And I couldn't tell you. They were singing in the church last night, and I came with them. And I really couldn't tell you what the preacher said, because before I came, I had purposed in my heart that I was going to get saved that night. God had been, he'd been convicting me. I didn't know that at the time. I just knew that I had no peace, and I knew I needed to put things right, and I knew that there was only one way to get to heaven, and I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. I knew all those things. And so I sort of came purpose in my heart, and I didn't realize it, but God gave me courage. I know it takes courage to stand up and go and say, I want to talk to someone, to stand up and say, I need to be saved, to say, could you pray with me? These things take courage. But when I stood up that night and came to the front, when they asked, there was me and another girl, and whenever they asked if somebody wanted to talk, God somehow gave me the courage to stand up and come to the front. And you know what? He saved me. He saved me. He washed away my sin. He became my savior and my friend. And although I have personally been in lots and lots of swirling waters in the ensuing years, but God has always been faithful. Best decision I ever made. I am so grateful to live in a country where I could hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're missionaries and involved in the reaching people that have never heard it, bricks, I just don't understand it. Matthew always says, well, it's the Spirit of God that speaks, and he does, of course he does, but from a human point of view, it breaks my heart that there's people in here tonight that are hearing the word of God and walking away from them when there's so many in the world that are dying and not hearing that Jesus loved them. Again and again and again, tribal people from other tribal groups came to us and threatened Matthew and threatened to court him and threatened to do, if they didn't have missionaries that would come and live with them and tell them God's talk. And yet here we are. Such a privileged country. Here we are with the word of God in our own language. So tonight, maybe God's been speaking to you. Maybe you had a mom that prayed for you, and now she's in heaven. A mom whose knee sat by and who told you Bible stories and who loved you and who prayed for you. And somewhere along the line you stopped listening, and somewhere along the line you sort of cast off God. Well, I think the very fact that you're here tonight proves that God is still answering her prayers, even though she's in heaven now. And here is your opportunity tonight to take courage and to talk to someone. To take courage and just pray and ask the Lord to take away your sin. Although the pastor's not here tonight, Andrew's here, or our secretary, Billy Annette, or Esther or I, if you're a lady. Talk to someone. Do not walk away from this glorious, wonderful Savior who loved you so much that he gave your son, his son, to die for you. That you could trust him, that you could have your sins forgiven. And it's not just a question of going to heaven. To me, that's powerful. But we get to live with him every day. We get to find his help when the storms are raging. We get to find his peace whenever we're shipwrecked and we have to get into the water not knowing what's going to happen and we can't swim. We get to know that no matter what comes, that Jesus is there. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't forget. He doesn't fall out with us. He doesn't walk away from us. He's always there. And we can trust this Savior and trust him tonight. Please read that scripture when you go home because your heart will be encouraged, that chapter. Acts chapter 27. Every time I read, I'm so thrilled. They all got in pieces of board and pieces of sail and they all got there. It would be an awful shame if there would be somebody here tonight that's not going to get there, that couldn't trust Jesus and wouldn't know his peace. So step out and trust him. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he cares for you. Believe that he's interested in whatever's going on in your life because he is. And ask him to be your Savior and your friend. Best decision. The best decision you'll ever make. And for those of us who know the Lord, let's take our courage in our hand. Let's reach out and know that this courage is always there because God supplies it. The end is not yet for many of us, so let's follow him. Let's do what he tells us. And no matter what, let's know that he is there with us without any change. Thank you, men. So praise the Lord for his goodness. We thank him for mothers that loved us. And we thank you for mothers that prayed with us. And as we are about, the first time I spoke at a ladies' banquet, it was a mother-daughter banquet. I was pregnant with what turned out to be my daughter. And now my daughters, in turn, my two girls, are also going to have babies. So we move on, don't we? But we continue to pray, we continue to seek the Lord, and we continue to reach those who have still to hear the first time. Thank you. Our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is 247, Have You Been to Jesus for the Cleansing Power? And I need Sharon as well. Come on, Sharon. And please don't leave. There's a cup of tea. You can come in. Talk to someone, get a bit of fellowship, encourage your heart. Ask someone. If you have questions on your heart, ask them. Please don't walk away whenever a wonderful Jesus is here waiting to speak to you. Thank you.
Are you washed in the blood?
Father God, we do thank you tonight for those of us who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for this unspeakable privilege that's ours to be your children. And we pray for those that don't yet know you. Father God, cause them to know that you love them, that you died for them, and that you're waiting for them. If they can just take courage and reach out, that you will not turn them away. So Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. We commit each one of us, those that are listening online, those that are ill at home, touch their hearts and encourage them and help us to press on with you. Take us home in safety, Lord, we pray. And oh, Father, continue to speak to those that know thee not. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.